From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley here with the great. Can I call you great?
No.
Yes, Greg Hansen. There's so much to talk about, Greg. I don't even want to focus on one topic here. We're going to blow through like three different things here in the next 15 minutes or so. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any Arizona conversation starts with Khalil Tate. Last week we all said, well, there's no chance he can do it again. Then he kind of did it again. Arizona beats UCLA. All of a sudden, they're 2-1 in conference play. They have 4 wins this season. We're talking about bowl games. What?
If this continues, the first thing that has to happen, in my opinion, is you have to come up with a nickname for him.
Yes.
Anybody that could play this well in 2 games, if he can even remotely get close to that the next few games, he's got to have a nickname.
Yes.
Somebody named him, and it's really a bad one, Desert Ghost.
Nope. Nope. It's too Halloweenish.
Yeah.
Nope. You know, they called Denard Robinson Shoelace. That was his nickname when he was at Michigan because he could play without his shoes tied.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Sonoran Shoelace. Something like that. I don't know. You need something. Because, I mean, he's not even the only Tate playing quarterback on their roster. It's going to get real confusing here pretty soon.
Too bad the name Cactus Comet was taken.
Yes.
That would fit.
Yes. Yeah, he's just, I mean, incredible again against UCLA. To me, I've been equally impressed with his ability to make the big play and his ability to make the easy decision.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who has not turned the ball over once.
Yeah.
In 2 games. This is a guy who seems to hit the right wide receiver most of the time. He's not being asked to do a whole lot from a passing standpoint, but my goodness, he's accomplishing everything they ask him to do.
And he hasn't taken a big hit.
Yeah.
That would blow everything up if he takes a big hit and can't play.
Sure.
But I'm getting carried away here, but the enthusiasm is almost boundless because he's played so well in 2 games, you think, well, it's probably not a fluke.
Right. And they go play Cal at Cal this weekend. That's a winnable game. Arizona doesn't, I mean, or, like, let's look at the remaining schedule. SC is going to be a bear, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. Wazoo probably will be a bear, but as Cal showed last week, Wazoo can be beat. I think ASU isn't very good. Oregon State's as bad as maybe there's ever been.
Yeah.
Cal, mediocre. Oregon stinks. I mean, now, Oregon doesn't stink at home.
They could get repaired by that.
They could get repaired by that. But, I mean, they're 4-2 right now. Even if they go 2-4 the rest of the way, they go to a bowl game with a team that was 2 weeks ago so bad that we wondered if everybody was going to get fired.
Yeah. And, of course, looking ahead, if you lose at ASU, all of this is diminished a great deal.
Correct.
So there's a big eraser at the end or a big exclamation point.
Right. Is it, you've seen it all in your time here. Have you seen anything like this, though?
Only the emergence of the Desert Swarm defense.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else even in the same category.
Right.
Who's played this well individually ever?
Right. This isn't Nick Foles coming off the bench and completing more passes than Matt Scott. This is somebody coming off the bench, and all of a sudden, Arizona is as good offensively as anybody in the country by switching one guy.
And because he fits in the scheme.
Right.
Let's say USC had the scheme, and
right.
Khalil Tate had played these 2 games at USC.
Right.
He'd be on ESPN.
Oh, my God.
They would set up a camera crew outside of the locker room at USC just to talk to him.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It's incredible. And how do you think he's adjusting to all this?
It's almost impossible to say because in current college athletics, you don't get a chance to know the kids.
Right.
So we don't know what he's really like. People say he's humble, but we don't know.
Right.
I saw him shouting down people during the UCLA game, so I don't think he's really humble.
Right.
And I don't think we're going to get to know him.
Right. Well, there's a real possibility he could be the starting quarterback here for the next 2+ seasons. I would hope we'd get to know him over that span of time, but we're getting way ahead of ourselves too. And again, Greg, not to be a pessimist or a realist here. In this offense, quarterbacks get hurt a lot. Yeah. And anybody who carries the ball as much as he has been carrying the ball is tempting fate there a little bit. From what you've seen, does he do a better job of maybe mitigating injuries or getting out of bounds or sliding than Brandon Dawkins did? Or is he just a different kind of guy?
You know, Dawkins did take a ton of hits.
Right.
That's the one thing I remember about him. He took hits. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just stayed in bounds and took hits.
Right.
And Tate, Rich Rod's key thing is touchdown, first down, get down.
Right.
So maybe Tate has that in his head now, and he knows to slide.
Is that a thing, really? I like that.
Yeah.
Really? He said that?
Yeah.
So what? If you can't score a touchdown, get a first down. If you can't get a first down, get down,
yeah.
Basically?
Yeah.
Wow. I've never heard that before.
He kept Pat White healthy for 4 years mm-hmm. and made his career off of Pat White. Mm-hmm. And he never got hurt. He rushed for 4,400 yards. Mm-hmm. That is beyond odds.
You know what's funny? I remember watching, appointment television, Greg, waking up early for me because I was in my 20s, waking up at 8 in the morning to watch Michigan football on TV when Rich Rod was there because they had Denard Robinson. Mm-hmm. Denard Robinson, twice a game, would do something I'd never seen a person do before on the football field. Khalil Tate's last two games are better than anything yeah. Denard Robinson ever did at
yeah.
Michigan.
Yeah. In the first possession of the game against UCLA, he went 71 yards for a touchdown 4 minutes into the game.
Yep.
Coming off the Colorado game, it was just, you had to chuckle.
You had to chuckle. I think it's so neat, and this is why we like sports. When a team that you think you know suddenly takes a hard left turn or a hard right turn, there's something a little thrilling about it.
Oh.
The most years, the advent of the red-blue game, which is Friday night, coupled with a football team that would have been, say, 2-4, means we stop caring about football in mid-October.
Yep.
Your average fan stops going. We double down on our basketball coverage. We're on to basketball, and it's October 15th. Well, now, Arizona has the most interesting player in America.
Wow, that's a good way to put it. If Arizona beats Cal, uh-huh. they'll come home to play Mike Leach and all that passing wizardry. Mm-hmm. It's homecoming. It'll be a sellout.
Yeah.
I'm saying right now, 56,000.
It should be a sellout.
And if someone would have predicted that on mm-hmm. September 1st mm-hmm. that the Arizona-Washington State game would be mm-hmm. a big one, that probably ESPN will want to televise.
Sure.
It all depends on Washington State and Arizona winning this week.
Sure, yes.
If they both win, it'll be the game of the week in the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. ESPN will probably put it in prime time. Mm-hmm. And every ticket will be sold.
That's crazy. And who would have thought that a month ago?
Yeah.
It's wild. Real quick, on to red-blue. The red-blue game is here Friday night at McHale Center. Again, most years it's New Year's Day if you're an Arizona sports fan. This year I think it's a little bit more subdued. Or will it be?
I don't think it's subdued because I think most fans have transitioned from the shock mm-hmm. and realize they're going to get a freebie this year. There's going to be no penalties, mm-hmm. most likely. Mm-hmm. And they realize, hey, suddenly this team can go to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go 18-0 in the league because no one's ever done it. But they'll be in the conversation with those teams. Mm-hmm. And if nobody else gets hurt, the excitement will be, to me, as high as ever.
To me, what makes college basketball so interesting is over, and I mentioned this so much to you, Greg, you're going to roll your eyes. Over the span of weeks, we will go from knowing nothing about any of these guys to knowing everything about any of this. I can't tell you if Emmanuel Acott yeah. is spelled with one M or two. In a month and a half, I'll be able to tell you what his high school coach's
yeah.
name was.
Yeah, and Brandon Randolph, probably not two people in this town who would recognize him, know who he is, know right. how he plays. Mm-hmm. But by Saturday, everybody will know how he plays.
How about Dylan Smith? Dylan Smith is a guy who I couldn't pick out of a crowd today. He could be their Kadeem Allen a month from now.
He's apparently a sharpshooter among sharpshooters. Mm-hmm. And they have so many pieces. Mm-hmm. I get excited every year for U of A basketball just because it's such a great source of community pride, and mm-hmm. they're always good. Mm-hmm. And the games are so, they're almost intoxicating sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really looking forward to it.
Can I ask you a ridiculous question? Can you have too many pieces? Sure. I mean, because we looked at UCLA football last week, right? UCLA football team. They have a lot of pieces. They don't have a hole, but they have a lot of pieces. Is it possible to have too many pieces to the point it works against whatever Sean Miller's trying to build?
I think Sean Miller closes out the extra pieces.
Okay.
Like last year, he closed out Keanu Pinder for a while.
Right.
And then late in the year, realized we need him for a little bit.
Right. And then Kobe Simmons went from in to out. Right.
So I think he gets to the point where, as hard as it is to do, he will shut the door on several players.
And that usually happens right around Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? Right? The end of non-conference play, he narrows it down to about eight guys, and everybody else can keep their shooting shirt on and wave a towel.
You have to, though.
Yeah, of course you have to.
And somebody will transfer.
Right. And the list of guys who have been Sean Miller's ninth man and have transferred at the semester break is long and distinguished, isn't it?
I bought a college basketball magazine the other day and was reading about St. John's, and I read they raved about Justin Simon.
Justin Simon, that's right.
And he got shut out.
How about my man at LSU?
I can't even remember his name.
Whose name? I totally forget. Yes, yeah. Justin.
Craig somebody.
Craig Victor. Justin Simon, I'm glad that you went to his name, because I would have just gone that Temecula kid,
which
doesn't really narrow it down. One more thing before we go. You had, to me, the most interesting sports note of the week last Sunday, where you revealed that Taren Mowat would be returning to the U of A as their pitching coach, and that their former pitching coach was going to transition to basically an administrative recruiting coordinator kind of job. Why? And what do you think this means?
I think it means Arizona will now be recruit with anybody in the country, especially in Southern California. Mm-hmm. Taren Mowat's what, 30?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 32?
If that, yeah.
She'll be a dynamo recruiting with Caitlin Lowe, who is already a dynamic recruiter, and with Mike Candrea coming in to seal the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona could reassemble a national championship team again. Mm-hmm. And Stacey Iveson, who's now going to be an administrator, terrific, I think. But she realized and told me it's time to do something else. I don't think she wanted to be on the road recruiting 13-year-olds anymore.
Right. And Mike Candrea made this very clear. This was Iveson's decision. This wasn't Mike going, let's get younger.
Yeah.
Or let's get whatever. This was her deciding to dial it back a little.
I was so glad to hear and see that, because she deserves so much respect.
Mm-hmm.
She won two national championships for Pima College.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
She won the state championship at South Point.
Right.
She was an all-Pac-10 player here. And she was on the staff that won three national championships. Her resume is beyond touch.
If she wanted to go be the head coach, head coach in college softball, she could be the head coach anywhere in the country except for Arizona, UCLA, a handful of other schools. In 100 places.
She's modest enough that she won't talk about the year LSU asked her to be their head coach.
Wow.
And she turned it down.
Wow.
Stay here.
Wow. And LSU probably offered to quadruple her salary.
Yeah. She would still be there, probably with the national title.
Wow.
But you'd have to live there, and she's a Tucsonan.
Somebody like Taren Mowat, in many ways, she's like Jenny Finch. She was, for a long time, the face of the program, even after she left. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the girl you used to see on street signs. Is there something to be said for what that kind of appeal does to 14-year-old kids, 15-year-old kids?
You can't understate it, I don't think.
Right.
I watched last May Ole Miss reach the Super Regionals at UCLA, and I thought, they're going to get blown out.
Right.
And they were tough because they had really good pitching. And Mowat, they would show her all the time in the dugout. And I thought, man, she's grown up.
Yeah. She had those aviators, you remember? She had she looked like somebody you didn't want to mess with.
If she turned Ole Miss around overnight almost.
Yeah. Cut their team ERA in half in 2 years.
Yeah. And of course, it was because they recruited well.
Sure.
But she knew how to handle it.
Sure. And by the way, it's not like everybody else isn't recruiting. I mean, she managed to out-recruit schools.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It'll be interesting. You know, it's funny, we talked about recruiting. In the press release that Arizona sent out on Tuesday to announce her hiring, they mentioned that Taren Mowat won two ESPYs while at Arizona.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I went, get the you-know-what out of here. Like, we're mentioning ESPYs in a press release, But you know what? If you're trying to recruit 13-year-old, 14-year-old kid, and their dad, let's say their dad's my age.
Yeah.
Darn right I remember Taryn Mowat winning an ESPY. She goes a little bit beyond just softball. There's a pop culture thing to her that I think may really help Arizona in recruiting.
If she can go out somewhere in the vast LA area and pinpoint the two best pitchers and get them to Arizona, that will give you 6 years right away where you're in the hunt.
Absolutely. And you know what, as we've learned the last couple of years with U of A softball, used to be you needed one great pitcher, right? I think now you can cobble it together if you have three decent ones.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure Arizona had either the depth or that elite level start. Danielle O'Toole was really good, but she wasn't.
Yeah, she wasn't knockout.
She wasn't knockout. I don't think she was as good at the end of her senior year as she was midway through her junior year.
Exactly.
So.
And this year they really only have one pitcher unless this freshman Hannah Bowen is something.
Right.
So there's a lot of work to be done.
Absolutely. I love that you and I can go from, and you in particular, can go from football to basketball to FBI investigations to deep dive into Arizona softball's pitching depth. I like that, Greg Hansen. That's why you're the best.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, let's wrap it up here. This is the Wildcast podcast. Arizona heading into a game against Cal this weekend. Obviously, red-blue Friday night. And then U of A softball, I guess we can talk about a little bit later. One more thing before we go, Greg. I know you usually do this on Fridays, but I'm going to push you a little bit. Who wins Saturday?
I was going to ask you who you think will win. I think Arizona will win.
Me too.
And I think decisively.
Wow. Wow.
Until Khalil Tate gets shut down, I'm going to say he's really good.
Yeah, yeah. And if you look at what Cal did to Washington State last week, a lot of it was catching interceptions thrown right to them. A lot of it was Washington State imploding on the road.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's easy to win, to beat Washington State, but they made it look easy.
That game was over in the first quarter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Greg Hansen. We will see you next week, okay? All right.